Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm your host this morning, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing in there.
Back we are, Leslie T. Travis. Good
morning.
In the
glass box. All the windows. Well, everything going all right?
It is. I'm all caught up, ready to go.
Everything's rather smooth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's go over to, speaking of smooth, let's go over to Venice, Louisiana. Let's talk to the one and only Mr. Mike Jeffcoat. Mike, what's going on, bud?
Oh, well, the wind's not blowing today, it don't seem like. So
yes, sir.
That's a big plus. It was kind of nice yesterday. Well, prior to that, my God.
Y'all have contended with some wind this year.
I mean, it's been horrendous. It's crazy. Now we got another big blow coming.
Oh, yeah, Saturday night.
Yes, sir.
Another front. I think we got one Saturday and another one Wednesday, back to back.
Love it. I'll be in them woods by then, hopefully. I'm ready for it.
I bet you are, man.
Got till Monday about noon time, and I'm shutting her down for a few days.
Well, can't blame you.
So,
make that long drive back.
Yeah. I've been mainly bull red fishing the last, I don't know. I've been on so many days in a row, I couldn't tell you, but. everybody's wanting to catch them bulls. And,
yeah.
Boy, yesterday we finally got that wind off of us, and man, I wound up out there in 25 foot of water catching them things. And I went to marking them, and I said, you know what, guys, I bet we can catch them on the bottom too. Drop a jig down there, a spoon or something. There's a handful down there at 25 foot, though.
Mm-mm-mm.
But now, day before that. I was drifting some oyster reefs and caught a couple of trout, and about 200 yards from another reef I really like trout fish on. And I said, next drift, I'm going to get on the other side of this other reef over here where these islands are. And drifted up there close to it, and all three of them hooked up a big old trout. And I threw it out there and caught one. They said, what are we doing? We don't want none of these trout. I said, geez, guys, killing me here. So I made them catch 15 of them anyhow, though. Drifted off of it. That's how it is. I mean, these guys want them bulls. That's what they want. They don't want anything else. So, I don't know. I caught them one day. Maybe last Saturday. I don't remember. They did have some guys want a trout, and we went and stood on them pretty good. About 2 foot of water is crazy. So, thing has happened, the river it jumped back up a little bit. It didn't jump much, but it got dirty. And them trout there, they were pouring in them ponds. And so it's making fun fishing. If I could just get some trout fishing in the boat.
Yeah.
Full redfish today and tomorrow, too.
Well,
I'm tired of picking them
big ones. If he wants far over, I'd come jump in the boat with you, and we'll go wear some trout out. That's.
I'm telling you, it is something else. It's a lot of fun. Especially the size trout we're starting to catch now. So. But offshore boats finally made it back out yesterday. They've been shut down, I don't remember, 7-8 days, and nobody been offshore. And
right.
I hauled some duck hunters downriver after I got through fishing yesterday out of Georgia. They hired me to pull their duck boat and their camping gear down there. I got back to marina kind of late, and they wasn't in at 4 o'clock yesterday. And I went, whoa. They was having to relocate them, but all shrimp boats have been in too. So you know it takes about 24 hours for fish to get back on the shrimp boats once they get out there. So they'll probably be a different story on them tuna fish. They'll probably load the dock today. So.
Man.
That's all shaking. Like I said, I got disappointed with the river getting dirty again. We're not gonna have to fish yet, but. I was looking yesterday.
Where'd that water come from? What made it get dirty?
We have no idea. Only thing we can figure is the wind might be doing it. You know, it floats so hard out of the north northeast now. Remember how long it did, 7-8 days. Like Main Pass, that water blowing down Main Pass, you know, that's right down Main Pass. And Main Pass is just, you know, it's shallow all the way now. So it's just a mud hole coming out of it. So
yeah, I'd probably roll it up, you know, cause
yep, Baptiste Glet the same way. Now, I took them duck hunters down South Pass, and South Pass looked pretty good yesterday. And the crabbers have got the river just, I mean, you better pay attention running either side of the river right now, all the crab traps. So evidently they're catching crabs, and I did notice a mullet jumping in the river yesterday when I was coming back up. So that probably means that river is pretty clean underneath and starting to settle out again. So
probably is.
You know, it's just hard to stop fish that stuff, you know, with customers. But I get a chance today, I might check some spots in the river. Have to fill my people out. I got new people today, so I really don't know what I'm going to do other than I know we're bull red fishing. So. Yeah. And
you know, I imagine after, you know, several days in a row, 6, 8, 10 days of wrestling those things and having to take them off for everybody and handling those fish, I'm sure your hands and wrists and elbows and everything get pretty tired out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to wear on me a little bit.
Oh, I guarantee it is, man. Boy, if you had arthritis, you'd never be able to maintain.
Don't say that word.
Because old Arthur, he's the meanest one of them riders, boys.
That's right. I just have to grin and bear it right now. You know, but seeing the look on my customer's face, you know, when they're catching them things, it's what it's all about. So they're happy, I'm happy. And it's amazing, man. Some of the ballet boys were talking about how many people are coming here now just to catch bull red. You know, we used to never do that. I mean, catch one by accident. The forest just targeting them things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no. And I don't know if they're going to get out of hand or what, because we've been talking about that on them trout. You know, like the shark rigs and stuff. You just don't catch them trout around them rigs like we used to. And
wonder why.
Too many
redfish.
Maybe, I mean, I caught them fish yesterday from 2 foot of water out to 25 foot. And I mean, I drifted that whole
hey, that's that a broad spectrum. That's a lot of water, man.
You know, I'm drifting, you know, 0.5, 2 miles an hour was my drift. You know, and I had went 5 miles on that drift.
Right.
And catching redfish the whole way. That's a lot of redfish. You know, so the future of the redfish looks awful good, but how many trout are they? You know, and that's another thing, you know, you get on them trout right now in the ponds, and I think I told you last week, you know, you start lighting them up, and then all of a sudden you catch a bull red, or a customer gets a bull red on.
That's the end of the trout fishing. You can bet on that.
Yeah, because once he circles all that area, them trout have left there. You just have to relocate them. So, I don't know. You know, and just like yesterday, I was in 15 foot of water, caught 2 trout on top. So, I think them trout are just scattered, except the ones that are in the pond. And some of the guys throwing live shrimp are catching them in Pascalucha still. But,
right.
You know, it's still got enough grass in it, places that it cleans up pretty good. So, I don't know. Be interesting to see the next few years what takes place with this. There's lots of bull reds. And I don't care what side you're on, east side, west side.
Well, I know all those pencil trout we've got everywhere, you know, anywhere from 12 inches up to 17 inches. James had a guy the other day, he was reeling one in. Some kid fishing with him, and boy, all of a sudden his line just drag starts ripping, and he's tugging and winding and all that, and then it came loose, and then he brought it in, and it was he had a bull red ate his trout, and that trout was just totally destroyed from where that redfish swallowed it. They're just swimming around out there eating pencils.
Yeah, most definitely. So I don't know, you know. I know the mullet fishermen, they can't fish outside.
Right.
Because they're destroying their nets. You know, they don't get caught in the gills because that's a real small mesh.
Right.
Net.
But they'll roll that net up, tear everything
and
up.
And wrap herself up in it and everything else.
Oh, yeah. It's nasty.
It's, like I say, it's going to be interesting to see what it takes place with that because they're thick. I mean, thick.
Well, as long as they're thick, your customers will be thick.
Oh, most of them. Because, I mean, you know, I don't ever go above Baptiste Gillette. But I've heard the boys talking about them being up there, too, now, around California Point, all up in there.
Good Lord.
You know, that's where all them pencil trout are. That's where everybody goes catches a schooling trout. So.
Well, that's probably why
But like me, I fish Baptiste Gillette all the way south. Mm-hmm. And I know they're all the way from when you leave the rocks at Baptiste Gillette, you start fishing.
Well, and then now they got them way up there. How many miles up them are there? I mean, think about that.
True.
That's a lot of fish.
That's a lot of big fish, you bet.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, and it never used to be like that. But, you know, that was back in the day when they were fishing them, too, though. You know, commercial fishing.
Purse-seining them. Yeah, they'd get out there and purse-sein them.
Yep. That's like bogey boats.
Well, that just shows you what catch and release does for fishing.
Exactly.
I mean, if we could do that on our trout, what kind of big trout fishery would we have if everybody caught and released? Just keep a couple to eat. Just think about for a minute. You know, in 4 or 5 years, it's just like managing a deer ranch. You know, if you shoot all your 2 and 3 year olds, you're not going to have any 6 and 7 years old and big horns. And it all goes back to management. But it's just people just want that limit, man. They want that full box.
That's the same way. You know, one of the older guys was helping me yesterday on that trip I had yesterday. And he seen me throwing them trout back. And he hollered on the radio, don't be throwing them trout back. I'll take them. I'm going, we're both ready.
Catch them yourself.
Yeah. Let's throw them back. They'll be bigger than this next year. So, anyhow.
All right,
that's
Mike.
That's what you're taking advantage of.
Well, go get them, man. Do your thing. And maybe I can hook up with you when you get in town.
All right, buddy. I'm going to try to roll out Monday evening, but we'll see.
All right, brother. Throw your number out, man.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web, rjhuntingfishing.com.
All right,
I got plenty of weekdays in December if you guys want to come get these trout. Come on.
All right, buddy.
Or Bull Ridge. We'll go catch Bull Ridge.
All right. Okay, thanks, Mike. See you, man.
Bye.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 517 right here in the Bayou City. Now we're going to go down in the prairie area of the Mid-Coast, and let's talk to Mr. Steve Biegers. He's the man at Rocky Creek Retrievers down there, and let's see if we can get his phone to work good this morning. Steve, good morning. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are y'all?
Oh, we're good, man.
I'm so sorry about the spotty cell service.
Well, it's where y'all are at. I know how to fix that, though. With the money you got, you can get you a sat phone, brother.
Yeah. And tell me about that deer you got.
It was really nice, man. Once in a lifetime deal. I'm still pretty excited about it. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And, man, tell me about some of these birds y'all are killing. I've been seeing pictures from Caleb down there, and, man, y'all are whacking on some geese right now, too.
You know, Mick, I've been down here since about 98, this one little area, and there's more geese here than I've seen in a long time. I live in Brenham, and so the direct path is over my house to here, and I don't see them coming anymore. They all migrate at night, which is... that's pretty normal, but normally I would see a stragglers in the morning, dog training and stuff, and man, it's just amazing how many geese are here right now. It's crazy.
It is.
You know, and we're so dry. You know, I know Harvey affected so many people, but the prairie is very dry, and that forces those geese to move more than once or twice a day. You know, they've got to feed, water, go back, so you're getting to see the traffic, which makes for good goose hunting. That's why goose hunting is better this year. Number one, there's more geese, but number two, it's actually dry, which helps goose hunting, right?
Right. Well,
there's a lot of ducks here too, Mick. We're duck hunting this morning. We're going to goose hunt on Friday. We try to goose hunt through the week while the duck hunters are out there banging. But we're going to goose hunt tomorrow and kind of anticipate a big south wind with that front approaching.
Right.
It's pretty dead calm here right now. It's going to be tough conditions this morning. We've got a lot of ducks, though. That's the only saving grace. But it's pretty sweet. It's about 68 degrees and as still as can be right now. We should be fishing, I guess.
Well, yeah, fishing's good, but... Man, we got some fog down around my area this morning when I left to come in here around Trinity Bay. We had some fog down there, so boy, it'd be nice if you had some goose hunters. You had a little fog your way. That always makes it better.
Yeah, we haven't had fog. I guess it's just a little drier out this way. We haven't had the fog, so I'm kind of glad we don't have a patchy fog. It's even worse for duck hunting.
Oh yeah, I hate fog when I'm duck hunting.
Yeah. But no, I hope that. I know that front's coming on Saturday, and hopefully that big south wind will be gusting tomorrow, and that's what we're kind of banking on to go goose hunting. But no, Caleb and them, I don't know if you heard about that goose they shot. It was banded up near, farthest reach of North America toward Alaska by Russia. I mean, it was closer to Russia than anything.
Wow. I killed a speckled belly like that one time, and it had two leg bands and a neck collar, and it had been banded every time in the northern Arctic, way up there like you're talking about.
Yeah, crazy stuff. But no, we had I think we lost our blue wings finally, which, you know, they were late getting here for us. I mean, we had a great blue wing teal season. But there was more blue wings here when the season opened than there was during teal season, but we lost them this past weekend. They're gone. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I killed one or two yesterday. That opening weekend, we killed 60% blue wings. It was like teal season again. But there's lots of pintails, and heck, I had some nice gadwall yesterday, and you know, it's really killing a big mixed bag. But prairie's in good shape. We could use a shot of water, but you know, we've got access to the wells, so all of our stuff is pumped up nice. And actually, Caleb and I and another boy were out late last night. Fixing a hole in the levee. We just happened to go by and check it just to make sure everything was running right. Sure as heck, there it was. And we stayed out there and fixed it, and that's just part of it. That's what people don't see.
I remember them days, man, having to plug them levees, gator holes dug through them, and the blowouts, and just it's always something, man. You got to walk your levees every single day if you're going to hold on to your water, man.
Oh, we carry a shovel in the truck, and we'll leave one in the blind.
That's it. And carry a snake charmer with you, too, because I imagine them old cottonmouth rattlebacks are out right now.
Yes, sir. All right, man.
If people don't know a lot about you, you know, Steve, I've known you, I don't know what, 40-plus years?
Yes, sir.
You're one of the best dog trainers I know. You know, when you're not duck hunting all year, waterfowl hunting, you're training dogs the rest of the year. Man, I've hunted over some awesome dogs that you've trained over the years. Pretty impressive.
Well, thank you, sir.
Very impressive.
My daughter runs the kennel this time of the year, and I'm down here in El Campo. I bounce back and forth and train a little bit, but I'm mostly down here. But they can sure holler at us. We'd love to help them out and get on a good duck hunt or help them with their dog, and be glad to.
Well, give them out a number so somebody can get a hold of you. Sure. If they want to get a dog trainer, just come on an excellent duck hunt.
Yeah, sure. 281-610-8226.
I like that ring to it, 610. Sounds like
go.
Home.
All right, brother. Well,
hey, Steve. Hey, tell Tracy and Caleb and all the boys down there hello for me, man.
I will.
All right, brother.
I will.
See you then.
All right, thanks for having
Take care.
Uh-huh.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's Steve Biggers down at Rocky Creek Retrievers. It's they're having a heck of a year. And I know these boys over here east of town, you know, out my way are having a great year too. So it got cold up north and it's warm down here, and those ducks are coming down here to the coast and having a big party. They're loving it. And that's usually what happens. If it gets real cold up north early and you freeze over a lot of that water where they don't have any place to set up, they'll move on to the coast. Plus it covers all their food up with the snow and everything else. They've got to come to the coast. And probably the most phenomenal thing I ever saw as far as waterfowl flights was that, you know, the 12 days of Christmas you hear us talk about when we had that big Christmas Eve freeze, that Arctic blast come down. And, I mean, it froze over everything down here on the coast. And I've never in my life seen that many ducks just swarming like bees. And they'd come into the pond you were on, and you tried to break the ice up, but it was just so cold that it would freeze right back up. And they'd come into landing them decoys, and they'd slide on their butt across that pond. They'd stick them feet down, and they'd just go to sliding across that ice. It didn't get any better than that. But if you had any kind of open water anywhere that they could sit down and get a drink or just rest, it was totally incredible. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Probably never will. Unless we get another blast like that. That was just, it's like every duck in the North American continent came straight to the Gulf Coast. It was pretty bizarre. And the only bad thing about that was the big fish kill that followed that because of the extreme, you know, Arctic conditions. It killed about half our fish, but we had so many fish then, we still had millions of them left after that. So, but anyway, that was quite an experience. Makes you appreciate the long, long life you're able to live and be able to witness things like that. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:30 right here in the Bayou City, and you can tell by the music, we're going down to G-Town. We're going to talk to the man, Captain James Plogg. Plog, what is up?
Yo, man, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I missed you yesterday. I had you on the way home. But
I called you right back. I was cleaning my boat up.
That's what I think.
My phone was laying on the tailgate of my truck, and I didn't want to crawl out of the boat. I'm tired of crawling in and out of the boat.
I wouldn't have crawled out either to talk to me.
But I did call you right back. You can look on your caller ID. I never fail to call a man back.
I think I was watching, too. I think that's what I was doing. Man, but it's nice day this morning. It's been nice. We've had good weather, man. One day was a little chilly and cool. Maybe Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah.
And, but no, we, you know, since Sunday, Mickey, it's been really good. I mean, we're catching them. I didn't catch a limit. What's today, Thursday? Maybe Tuesday. I think we had 20-something. Maybe I even had 20 trout and a couple of reds. But, yeah, it's kind of like Bill. I mean, you can't just drive all over the planet and catch them, but we got a little old pattern going right now, and we're catching them pretty good. But there's a whole lot of places you can go and not catch very many, too, though. So,
that's right.
You know, I don't know if it's I wouldn't call it great. If you're where they're at, it's pretty good.
Yeah, you gotta be right on the right stuff. You know, there's a lot of little ones everywhere. You can go get all those bites you want, but to get on a school of keepers right now, you gotta sit tight with them and don't tell nobody.
Yeah, I left a couple of times. I left once yesterday, went and looked around, didn't do nothing, covered a lot of that same stuff you were looking at, nothing. When I went back, I think our first pass, we caught like 7 or 8, you know, and then we catch two. You know, we were through at like 10 o'clock, but you know, we might have had 120 inches, Mickey, but they were all, you know, regular old fish. We've been catching them on, like, I got Robin sent me a bunch of them little bosses and little paddle tail shad things I've been fishing with. And I've grown some kind of natural looking color, like that old hoagie we used to fish with, like a dark back with like a, you know, white cream color body.
Tennessee shad color.
Yeah, like a, you know, like something real natural, and it was good. It probably didn't matter, man. I just wanted to try them, and they bit them too. Pink's been good. Slamming chicken's been good. You know, hey, if you're where they're at, you know, if you're where they're at, you can get some bites. Really, don't matter. Now they're fishing back. You know, after me, you talked about that thing you were waiting, man. It's almost like those fish don't want to commit. You know, they're out there. They're still out there, kind of deep. I'm catching around like 4.5 foot of water. You know, you get shallow. You know I ain't gonna catch many in a boat, but I drip in there shallow, and you know, you don't get many bites. You know,
that's the way it was for me Monday. But we were trying to catch a big one, too. Those guys I had, they've caught plenty of little fish in their lifetime. You know, you could tell they were good fishermen, and we covered it all, trying to get the big,
you're gonna
get
catch
the
a
big nibble.
You know, it's going to be in there shallow. And the biggest fish we do catch are shallow. You know, the shallowest one.
Yeah, and the fish we caught, you know, were just nice quality fish for nowadays. And it was real nice having a catch and release trip, too. That was pretty cool. Didn't even have I didn't even take my stringer with me.
Oh, that's big time.
Just leave it in the boat, man. That's good stuff.
I think Pat Murray fished with me Tuesday. He came with Sid and Justin, and we had more fun telling stories than we did fishing. And I think we kept more fish. Justin wanted about 4 to eat. I did a little school red, and that was pretty cool. But Pat
Murray, I hadn't seen him in years, man.
Oh, me either, man, but we had a blast. Your ears should have been, everybody's ears should have been burning, man. If you weren't in the boat, we were lighting you up, man. It was fun. But it's all right, Mick. I ate the water when I come in yesterday. Man, I think it was right at 67. I think the lowest I've seen it might have been Monday, maybe 63. So it ain't just blazing up there again like it was last time, you know, because it's kind of cool at night.
Yeah.
Man, we got another front coming, what, tomorrow? Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night, and another one next Tuesday or Wednesday. And I don't know. It's weird weather for November. It's just unseasonably. I mean, the trees aren't even losing their leaves a little bit, but we hadn't had that big turn. Usually by Thanksgiving, you know, everything's pretty much shed. You lost most of your leaves, but it hadn't happened so far.
Yeah, it's hot. Yesterday I got home, got pissed and everything. I went and rode bikes, and, man, I was sweating. It was like it was June, man.
I know.
But I'm going to go do something a little bit different today. See if we can do something. We did have Tuesday, we had a pretty good topwater bite. Justin was throwing topwater, and he probably had, I don't know, 10 or 12 bites.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest fish I caught was on a chartreuse and gold mariler, but it ain't a good mariler bite. I think I've had like 4 bites, you know, not many. But the day you were fishing about 4.5 pounds.
I threw a mariler the other day. I never had a sniff on it. Now, a corky, you could get a bite on a corky, but mariler.
Yes, I ain't through, you know, I'm fishing out of boats. I ain't through no corky, but
Pete and Sammy, man, they fish out of the boat, and that's all they throw, man. Can you believe them guys? Dude, there's some.
Yeah, but they're good. I saw Pete and Sammy the other day. I wasn't sure it was them when I left us, man. I'm pretty sure that was Big Rat and Sammy jacking around.
It was. He won't tell. Sean goes, well, where'd you catch him, Dad? He said, well, I can't tell you that. Sean called me, and he's coming home for the holidays and all. Now we're going to have this big family thing that wasn't even in the plans, but you know how things change at the last minute. But he was telling me, yeah, Big Rat and Sammy, they got on them the other day. They caught about 30, and they were all, you know, solid fish. I said, what's solid? He said, oh, you know, 2 pounds. I said, well, yeah, I guess that's solid for nowadays.
Hey, tell Sean to call me, because I tell him exactly where they were fishing. And it's got some fish on it, but it's a little bitty spot.
Yeah.
And I didn't stay. I could tell they'd been jacking with it, and I just want to check it, because there'd been some fish on it. But I trolled out there and just left. Fight was over anyway. Yeah, tell Big Rat, I got you, baby.
Yep. You can run, but you can't hide.
And
you know how he is. He's not going to tell Sean. His own son.
So you can't even tell your mama where you're fishing.
That's it. Don't even tell your mama.
Oh, man. But that little place they're fishing's got some fish. Nah, just like on every street corner.
Yeah. Well, I found me one of them little places like that Tuesday. And that's the only place I could get a bite. I just power poled down on it and just sat on it. And it was good. But was it good? No. No, it was, you know, keepers. I mean,
right.
I get so sick of hearing that, keepers.
Well,
got a school of keepers over here, man.
Well, at least the fish we're catching now, you know, it's just, it's, when I say it's good, it means I ain't got to lean over there and measure anything. Say, man, look, you know, now if you catch one, he's either, yeah, just throw him back, man. I mean, he ain't even close. Or he just, you just, you know, if you want to keep fish, just put him in a box. He's, you know, 17, 18 inches. You know, there ain't that, oh, man, better check him, better check him. Well, he's right at 15. I ain't catching a whole lot of him.
Hey, what does that checking stick look like after about a week of that?
You know it's nasty. Your checking stick is only soiled up to like 14 7/8.
Yeah, you just look. It's just solid brown, and it's about an inch thick on there from all that gum on there and pasted to it.
You can tell where the lines are.
You can't even read the letters on it. It's so covered up with slime.
Oh, man. But now we got away from that anyway.
So pinch that tail. You got to butt that head up, close the mouth, and squeeze that tail, man. Get everything you can out of him.
Hey, if I got to do all that, I'm just throwing him back.
I know it.
I'm just going chunky, man. He's going to shrink. When I had them kids the other day, you had to be careful. I put one in there, and I said, man, he's 15. And when I measured him again, he would not touch 15. Now, he didn't shrink like no half inch or nothing. I mean, he was 15 inches.
They'll shrink about an eighth of an inch, though, sometimes.
He for sure didn't touch 15. I went, ooh.
Well.
But he was 15.
Golly. Oh,
but, it's good, Mick. It's all right. I mean, hey, I'm happy just to be going, man, catching some fish. I don't know how long that little deal we got going to last, but I think there's quite a few fish there.
Yeah.
I hope Rat's listening. Tell Rat I'm going to go get on his stuff this morning because I go real early.
Well, it's been early bite, too, what I'm hearing.
It has. Hey, man, dude, after about 9 o'clock, you had to just, like, wear them out. I mean, it was, I think we caught 10 our first pass and probably should have had about 15, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, because I was fishing real early. So, but it worked out all right.
Well,
but y'all had some decent fish, though.
Yeah, nothing good. I threw one back, I don't know, it was about 4 pounds, but, you know, in there, you don't have to measure them. When you get a bite in there and catch one, there you can either throw it back or put it on a stringer. No measuring allowed, you know, or
exactly.
Needed. Just not a lot of fish. And I think, you know, that first place I waited, there was some fish there, but, man, they were pushing the bait around. They weren't jumping on it. And they'd hit a corky and just bend it double, and you wouldn't catch them. And I think they were out a little farther than we could reach because we had to wade out pretty far and throw as far as we could to reach them. And
those fish up there where you're at, they won't stay very long right there, and I don't know why.
No, as soon as that sun gets up, they pull out. But then when they pull out, you can get out there in a boat and try to get on them, and you can't catch them, you know?
No, I went over here yesterday at 8 o'clock. It might have been a little before 8, like 7:45. You can see where the mullet went out there, and I said, well, we'll see if we get a bite. Your plastic would have fell off your lure, and you still wouldn't have caught nothing.
Oh, I know.
You know, they ain't swam out of there.
No, they hadn't.
If you're going to go there, you got to go, like, first thing, make your pass, and then get out of there, just like you did the other day.
Yep, and that was pretty much over when I rolled out of there. I went back and waited it that afternoon, and I got one. No, I caught one and got one bite. I had two bites. You know, on the way
in. Hey, I don't hop and I know you probably ain't going to catch nothing.
I know it, man. Hopping out like a rabbit on Sunday, man.
Oh, man, this is old Courtesy Wade.
That's it, Courtesy Wade on the way to the dock. All right, brother. Well, hey, somebody wants to call you about fishing, James. How they get a hold of you, man?
Brother, 499-357-242.
Going to the bottom.com. That's us.
Well, I run into some guy at the store. He said, hey, you on the bottom yet? I said, no, but I'm pretty damn close to being on the bottom.
Hey, I'm so far on the bottom, I need a step ladder to reach the bottom. All right.
Ain't that the truth, baby? Can't get out the hole.
All right. James, always a pleasure, man. Good luck to you today. Go out there and whack him, man. All right, brother. See you. All right. That's Captain James Plog. Tiki Island. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show's final segment. Man, where did time go this morning? Started fast and ended fast. Leslie T knows what I'm talking about. I got a good smile out of her anyway. All right, let's go down to Port O'Connor now. Let's talk to our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith. Hey, Lynn, what's going on, bud?
Don't know it, man. Don't know it. Just
living a dream, huh?
No, I'm telling you. Just living the dream. I fished the last couple of days, and now I'm going to get back into hunting mode.
There you go.
Yep.
Boy, don't we have it tough, man, hunting and fishing this time of year. It's, boy, nothing like Texas, is there?
Somebody's got to do it, you know.
I got
it. I've hunted all over. I've hunted Colorado and Idaho and, you know, all over the place. New Mexico. And there is no place like Texas.
No, there's not.
That's a fact. And, I mean, we've got so many deer and, you know, ducks and doves and everything. A lot more than what these other states have, I guarantee you. It's a great place to live.
Yes, it is.
And you know, I grew up duck hunting, and I shot my first duck when I was 7 years old. And it was a greenhead. I can still remember like it was today. Of course, I Arkansas'd him. I shot him on the water, but
Arkansas'd him. I like that.
But anyway, I got him. That was the main thing. I wanted to go out and get him. My dad said, no, I'll get him. You just sit right here. He wouldn't let me have any shells or anything. You know, I was shooting a 410 single shot.
The old break over?
Uh-huh. It was only chambered for 2.5-inch shells.
Yeah.
And that's what I shot my ducks with. I even shot geese with that little old gun.
Remember them old single shot bolt action 410s you could get at Sears, those Ted Williams, J.C. Uh-huh. Higgins and all that. Remember that?
Yep, J.C. Higgins. Oh, yeah. I remember that. I forget what kind of 410 I've got there, but it's an oldie goldie. Got a hammer on it, you know, of course.
Right. I got an old breakover I've had since I was a kid like that. It's got the plastic stock on it. Plastic foregrip, plastic stock, and, you know, it's an old breakover with a hammer on it.
Well, I was so young that when I would get ready to shoot that gun, it took both thumbs to cock that hammer.
Yeah. I got a 20 gauge like that too, that I've had forever. I don't know how old those guns are, man.
Man. Well, it brings back a lot of memories. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. My dad used to paddle me in a P-Row through the marsh for about a mile or so, more than that, probably a couple of miles, and then get me out of the P-Row and carry me on his shoulders across that marsh to a blind they had built on a pond. And, man, we used to have a great hunt, man. We had a lot of widgeons and a lot of pintails.
Yep.
And it was great.
I made an inner tube for him to sit in. It would float when we'd hunt the timber, and I'd drag him. You know, I'd just tie him off to my wading belt, and I'd just drag him up and then tie him off to a tree, and I'd let him shoot one shell. When he'd shoot, that tube would spin around.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, that's memories he'll never forget.
Oh, yeah. He had duck hunting on the brain, man.
Oh, same here. I remember my dad coming home with all these ducks and geese, and I just couldn't wait for him to get home, you know.
I remember my son killed his first speckle belly. I thought he was going to sleep with it. He wouldn't let me clean it. And he carried it home to show his mama, and he put it in a plastic bag and ended up putting it in the refrigerator. And I said, no, you put that out in the garage in the refrigerator out there. You're not putting that in the house. You're going to get duck mites and everything else. All my wife liked to pass down.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yep, that brings back memories, I'll tell you. I remember that. But it was funny when I was married and I went hunting with a bunch of guys, and nobody wanted to keep the ducks but me. So I came home with the ducks, and so they were cold as it could be, and I put them out in the garage. I was going to go out in the garage and pick them out there, you know. And my wife said, she said, well, I'll help you. I said, okay. So she came out there and she looked at this pile of ducks and she said, oh my God, how many ducks do you have? And I said, well, I think there's 28. She said, oh my goodness. And so the first duck she picked up was this old black mallard, you know, a model duck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just loaded with pin feathers. And she picked on it about 2 or 3 minutes, and she looked at me with this pitiful look on her face, and I said, put it down. Get you another one. Get that teal. It's a lot easier to pick.
I used to hate them pin feathers, man.
Ooh, I'm telling you. And those old model ducks, they sure got a lot of them, too. They always do.
They always do, because they're born and raised here, and they're usually you shoot the young, dumb ones, and they're still growing feathers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. But I remember we used to hunt a pothole, and I made me a little marsh stool, you know, and I'd sit down in the weeds in the brush, and you only put out 2 or 3 decoys in
right.
That pothole, and man, those mallards would just fall in there.
Oh, they'll rain on you, man. That's the way we used to get them, hunt them small potholes, and don't put out no more than 6 decoys. And they'd
that's
just,
right.
You highball them Susies, and they'd just come just... Die dipping oh, in, fall. Man.
Oh, they just fall in there. Yeah, they do. I'm going to try to go duck hunting over Thanksgiving weekend.
You go.
Try to do a little duck hunting. I haven't had a chance to do that.
Yeah, I need to make a couple here pretty quick. I'm getting ready. If it just get a little colder, I got to have a little colder weather. That way
yeah.
You can get all your duck gear on, you look big time, you know?
Yeah,
that shotgun doesn't hurt your shoulders bad. You got a little padding, you know. Them old 12 gauges, 3-inch mags.
That's true.
Well, Lynn, if somebody wants to call you about deer hunting or fishing or what have you, and pick your brain or book a trip, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Oh man, they can get me on my cell, 361-935-6833. And I got a story to tell you real quick. We had some hunters come in the ranch last year, and this was a classic. We take them straight to the range, and we shoot them in, you know.
Right.
And make sure their guns are on. And this one guy had a brand-new gun pulled out of the box. And so I said, did you bore sight it? He said, yeah, they bore sight it. I said, okay. So he sat down, and he said, man, I'm having trouble looking through this scope. Well, the guy that owns the ranch, he said, well, let me look through it. So he sat down, and he looked at that scope, and he looked up at me with this funny look on his face. He said, the scope's on backwards.
Boy, they did a fine job on that one, didn't they? Boy,
I'm telling you.
Remind folks not to go to that gun store.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh,
that was a
goodness.
Classic.
Yeah, that all is. Right, no wonder
well,
he couldn't see. You too, Lynn.
All right,
buddy.
Man. You have a good one.
Take
buddy.
Care, man.
Right.
Later.
Bye.
All right, that's all the time we have for today, but we'll be back bright and early in the morning right here at 4 a.m. Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.